Father, it is good to gather together, and Lord, it is good to be given the opportunity to pray, and here we are. That's why we're here this morning. And so, Lord, we just want to lift our voices with you for a stanza or two, and then get into a little study of the prayer in the garden, the beginning prayer in the garden. So lead us now in this time, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Would you turn to 53, I Need Thee Every Hour? And the second stanza particularly will apply this morning. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby, temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. We're going to be talking about temptations this morning. So, verse 1, verse 53. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
As we go through the Bible, looking at the prayers in the Bible, today we come to one of the most outstanding prayers, I believe, in the Bible, and that's the prayer in the garden. And we've looked at this before, and we will spend a little bit of time in it as we go through it, but today I just really want to look at the first couple of verses. You know, last time when we talked about prayer, we were talking about Peter's denial and the preparation there for him to be tested and when he returned to strengthen the brethren. And then there's a little interlude here with a few verses about supplies for the road, and Jesus is telling them, in effect, get ready, I'm going to be gone. But don't really be concerned in some respects, because you remember how I provided for you when I sent you out and you had nothing, and yet do be willing to use your money and that kind of a thing. And they immediately jump to the wrong conclusion, think he's talking about buying swords, and they say, well, two swords, is that enough? And so he just kind of dismisses and goes right on in to the garden. So in verse 39, as they are coming out, they go into the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. We are in Luke this morning, chapter 22, Luke 22:39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. Then verse 40, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. I want to talk about that this morning a little bit. In verse 46, he says the same thing again. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. When's the last time you yielded to temptation? If this prayer room were the center of sin in Costa Mesa, and you were thinking about being, just checking it out, how far would you come before you turned around and said, no, I don't want to go there? Would it have been at the entry into the parking lot? Would you have come into the parking lot and gotten out of the car? Would you have walked across the property to the door here and then said, well, no, I don't think I should go in that door and turn around? Or would you probably open the door and then would you probably come on in? It seems like, where would you have turned? Where would you have stopped
that yielding to the temptation to see the sinful acts or whatever might be going on in the most sinful place. Well, you might say, well, it would be at an entrance to the parking lot. I would have just stayed on the street and gone right on by. I think we need to go a little earlier than that. I think we need to go back to prayer, because I see here Jesus is saying, pray lest you enter into temptation. The entering, that word is erchomai, meaning come, eisirchomai, meaning come into. So it's really saying, watch and pray lest you come into temptation. So when we came into this room this morning, there was an entrance point, wasn't it? There was a door, and we came in. We came in from the outside, and that's the idea here. Watch and pray lest you come in to temptation, lest you can say fall if you want, lest you fall into temptation. But Jesus was saying, watch and pray, and you may not enter into temptation. Now, I was also thinking, you know, the word abortion you really hate generally because of taking of human life. But there is a place where the scripture, in effect, does tell us that abortion is good. And that is in James chapter 1, where he tells us about we conceive in our mind through our lust, and it entices us. And when it gives birth, then we have sin, right? So somewhere between that conception of the desire and the birth of that desire into sin, we need to abort, don't we? We need to turn away from that. And so the quicker you can turn away from that thought, the easier it is to turn away, right? The longer you let that thought mature, go through its pregnancy and develop, the stronger that idea becomes, right? Does that make any sense to anybody? I think it makes sense to us all, doesn't it? Well, I did print out some things here. I just wanted to leave you. So on your own, you can spend some time meditating on these scriptures. But what does the Bible say about this, not entering into temptation? And, of course, the two verses we're looking at this morning in Luke 22:40, pray that you may not come or enter into temptation. And I guess one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, what do you do about not entering into temptation? And second question, are you aware that the Bible really speaks of victory over and over and over again over Satan's enticements? You know, sometimes I think we kind of get the idea that Satan is so powerful, we're just going to fall. It's just a question of when. And we really don't have much chance against him because he is so wily and he is so clever. And, you know, I can't get through very much time without falling into Satan's enticements. But that's not what the Bible says, I don't think. First of all, look through James 1, verses 12 to 15 when you get a chance. I don't want to take the time this morning. But that gives us a very clear idea of the beginning of the sin as it starts in our mind with our desires and our lusts, and they entice us there. Or that may not be just lust in terms of physical lust. It may be pride, it may be arrogance, it may be wanting to tell somebody the idea you have is so much more important than their idea that you just have to interrupt them and talk, right? And maybe you should be listening a little bit, right? Or whatever your temptation area is. But there is victory over Satan's enticement, and we see here that temptation, as defined by this word peirasmos, is an attempt to make one do something wrong. And it's also, you could be calling it an enticement to sin. Now, Jesus Christ did not sin. He was sin-free. But was he tempted? Absolutely. One of the most good examples of the temptation is in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4 too, I believe it is, where Jesus was tempted after he was filled with the Spirit, and you know he was in the wilderness, and Satan tried the various things, you know, and Jesus always responded with the Word, and so that is a good example of active temptation, as we have there in Luke 4:13, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until
an opportune time. So we see here in the garden, there is another opportune time for Satan to get involved. Now, some of the passive scriptures here with regard to temptation, I already mentioned James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. In the model prayer, Matthew 6, do not lead us into temptation, and also Luke 4, and then it goes on, but deliver us from the evil one. Matthew 26, 41 and Mark 14, 38 are the same prayer in the garden accounts that we have here in Luke 22, and they both say the same thing, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So Jesus is repeating that in his prayer in the garden to the disciples, so it must be important because this is a night like no other night for them, right? And their temptation, I think, probably was fear, but it could have been some other things as well. 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Luke 8:13 on the parable of the sower with the various soils. The one on the rock, it says, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Revelation 3:10, this is a positive one. This is to the church in Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, or trial, and translated here, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So that's a little bit about temptation. Well, what about resisting us, resisting it? Here's just a few verses. Proverbs, a couple of verses. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Then verse 14, do not enter. There's that same word. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. You know, you got to enter the path before we can walk in it, right? So this entryway is really important, I think. It's really important to turn away from the entrance passage as early as possible, because the further you go in it, the harder it is to turn away. You know that, but we still do it, don't we? Luke 21:34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighted down with these various things. Romans 6:13, of course, is an excellent verse. Do not present your members or parts of your body or your body as what instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to him. And then in Ephesians 6:13, we have, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall. So there's the same words again in 2 Peter 3. Now that's resisting temptation. Then there's some just specifically resisting the devil. Deuteronomy 13:8, you shall not consent to him or listen to him. Ephesians 4, be angry and do not sin. Verse 26, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. 6:11 again, put on the whole armor of God that we mentioned earlier, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So notice there in that, it says when you do what the Lord tells you to do, you have the victory, right? You can stand against him. It isn't that you're destined to defeat. No matter what I do, he's going to win. No way. He who is in you is stronger than he is in the world, right? And then James 4, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Father, we thank you for your teaching in your word. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And Lord, here we are to pray today and to intercede for others and to pray for our church, to pray for our pastor and pastors, and just to pray for your church in this state, in this country, in this world, to pray for the lost, to pray for the strengthening of the hands of those who are involved in the ministry, Lord, of proclaiming your word and teaching your word and discipling.
And all of the things that you will put on our hearts this morning, may we just be totally responsive to you, and may we recognize the importance of prayer in so many areas. But as we get into prayer this morning, Lord, we can also recognize the power of prayer as it helps each of us in staying out of the entry into temptation. And so, Lord, may that be our first prayer in the morning and our prayer throughout the day as we sing this morning. I need thee every hour, Lord. And you want that relationship with us. And so I think that's why, or at least one of the reasons, you allow us to stay in these saved bodies, yet with a propensity to sin. It causes us to come to you over and over, and that's good. So now here we are, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the victory over temptation by submitting to you and resisting the devil. And Lord, in that victorious state, so to speak, may we pray this morning and make our request known. This is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And we know that if you hear us, you will grant us the petitions that we have asked. So may we pray in Jesus' name.